everything through before we agree to just do anything that we ever think of we could do. There's long lists of things we could do, right? But we want to be very focused in what we do here at this church. And so this morning, the value that we're going to look at is the value of church membership. The value of church membership. This has been an interesting one to prepare for, because my preference would be, if I'm going to teach or preach, I would prefer to say I'm going to take a chunk of scripture and I'm going to go and I'm going to preach through that or teach through that in a systematic way and exposit the word, and it's very clear what I'm doing. Whereas dealing with church membership is something that falls more in the category of systematic theology, of systematic study, because there's not one epistle that was written about how church membership should, what it should look like and what we should do. Rather, it's sprinkled throughout much of the New Testament. We see the picture of the church. We see examples of how they were keeping track of numbers, of people who were in the church. We read passages that talk about how people came to Christ and then the number was added to them. And we have all these different things that point to church membership and what the church is and what it does. And so this morning, rather than to focus on a defense of the church and of church membership, rather I want to really look at a few specific things on regarding what we should be doing as members of the church. What are some things that we can do or should be doing that Scripture points us to? Just a shameless book plug at the beginning. This is a book called Church Membership. It's a 9 marks book. I would highly recommend this. This has been a really good help for me. If you notice, the corners are chewed off. There's a story to this. So this used to be property of the youth or student library upstairs. We have a really cool resource Christians put together, probably about 15 to 20 books that the students are checking out and they're reading, and this was one of them. So I grabbed it and I took it home, and then I left it out one morning before I went to work, and I get a phone call, and it was informed the dog had eaten the corners off of it. And I was like, oh, that's not my book. So I ordered Christian a new one. I get to keep this one. So anyway, this is a great book. I'd recommend you read it if you really want to know what is church membership, why do we do it. He makes a really strong biblical argument for the existence of church membership. So I want to read for this morning. We're not going to spend a lot of time in this text that I'm about to read, but I think it really kind of helps us to get on the right track. So if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word, and we're going to read from Acts 2, verses 44 through 47. This just does an amazing job of describing what the church looked like, what they were doing in the early church. So Acts 2, starting in verse 44. It says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just ask this morning as we look at your word, as we discuss this important topic of church membership, of belonging to a local church, we're reminded that we also belong to your church, your bride. And so I just pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding, and we would learn how to rightly apply your truth in this church, and in our own lives, in our families. In your name, amen. You can be seated. So if you have a bulletin, you should have this insert in there again. If you want to get that out and read along, we're going to be reading the seventh value titled Church Membership. I'm just going to go ahead and read it, and you can follow along. It says, "Because we believe that when God saves people, he makes them part of a body of people who represent him and display his glory. And because we believe that as God's people, we belong to one another in relationships of love and mutual accountability, we desire to take church membership seriously, identifying those who belong to Christ and holding one another accountable as parts of the body of Christ. This statement starts with a belief that it is God who saves sinners. God is the one who foreknew us before the foundation of the world. God is the one who called us with an effectual calling. God is the one who gave us new life through the power of the Holy Spirit and adopted us into his family. He made us his children, even though we were his enemies. And part of being God's adopted children includes being brought into the family of God. And we call this the church. There's two ways that the church is referred to in Scripture. The first way is the universal church. That may be a term you've heard before. The universal church, it has in it only true believers. Ones who have been called by the Spirit to trust in the saving work of Christ, who are kept eternally by the love of God, and who will be presented to Christ without spot or blemish. The universal church consists of all true believers in Christ for all time. From the beginning of the church until Christ returns. This is everybody who is truly saved, who's been born again, is part of the universal church, regardless of geography and regardless of race and language and time. Everybody who is a follower of Christ is part of the universal church. The second context that we see this term church used is in context of the local church. The local church is an expression of the body of Christ that often contains a unique culture or demographic from other local expressions, and yet all the local churches are called to obey the same truth and to live in a very different way from the world around us. The local church is made up of a group of diverse individuals who are called to now love each other and serve each other in response to a common salvation that is all the work of Christ. When this happens, God receives a good name within the church and within the community around us. And this is one way that we give glory to God, right? Giving glory to God is making his name known among people as being good and showing people and displaying Christ to the world around us. That's what it means to give glory to God. And we believe that's one way we do that is through the local church and how we treat each other and how we treat those in our community. To be part of this local expression of the body of Christ, we call this church, KBC, is a serious thing, which is why it is one of our 10 values. Membership is a term that means something within the church that is completely different from the way the world views this word. It's not like joining a club or gaining access to something like a golf course. Rather, it is the way we identify those who have been saved by God, who wish to enter into a covenant relationship with other followers of Christ for the purpose of giving Christ glory through love and obedience. So what church membership is not? What is it not? It's not joining a club or an institution like the American Legion or NRA or Eagles or Elks. It's not joining a club. That's not what this is here at Kennewick Baptist Church. It's not something that you do to obtain status or access to something like the Court Club or Gold's Gym or Canyon Lakes or the Yacht Club. Those are things that you can, I'm a good example of someone who can have a membership at a club and I never go, and it's probably pretty obvious. So, you know, that's not what we want here, someone who's a membership of something but never goes. We're not checking a box that earns God's favor. Okay, we have all the favor that we're ever going to receive from God through Christ. Christ has earned us favor with God. So we're not checking a box to try to earn favor with God. And we're definitely not trying to earn salvation. By joining this church, you don't become saved. Some churches would teach that if you part of salvation, part of being drawn to God is you have to join their church. So that's not what we do here. Church membership is not about salvation. So what is church membership? Well, church membership is covenanting with people. It's relationships. It's being loving toward other believers. And we believe it's an act of obedience. It's something that we do to obey God, to obey Christ. We join a local church. So by far, most of the commands in the New Testament are given to believers in the context of the local churches. Christians and church leaders are told to guard the flock, to use their spiritual gifts for each other, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to mourn with those who mourn. For the strong and the weak brothers to accept one another, not to fellowship with a brother who is living in unrepentant sin, to make judgments regarding disputes, to support those who preach and teach, to take communion together in a worthy manner, to collect a relief offering, to greet one another with a holy kiss, to forgive a repentant sinner, to restore a brother, to carry each other's burdens, to look after the interests of others, to help solve members' problems, to keep away from those who are idle, to choose qualified elders and deacons, to honor spiritual leaders, to warn of those who are false teachers and those who are quarrelsome, to teach one another, to remind the members to be obedient to authority, to warn a divisive person, to encourage one another daily, not to forsake assembling themselves together in the local church, and to look after orphans and widows. We're not to show favoritism. We are to confess our sins to each other and to pray for each other. We're to serve as examples to the flock, and we are to be submissive to our elders, and we are to repent. And this is not a complete list of all the things that we are told should be taking place in the church. Yeah, this is a long list, isn't it? I mean, this is some serious stuff. This is serious business. This is why church membership is so important. Without the church and without church membership or commitment, another way you could, I almost was tempted to say, let's replace membership with commitment here, because that's what membership really is in the church, is it's commitment or it's a covenant. It would be impossible for us without that to fulfill all of these commands that we see in Scripture. You just couldn't do it. So while there's many things that we could discuss regarding church membership, I want to address three specific purposes that we believe are extremely important in the local church. Kind of highlight three things. And these are also part of our church covenant, and they're listed explicitly in our membership booklet. So if you've gone through the membership class recently in the last couple of years, a year or so, we've had a really, really nice booklet that you'll use when you go through that class, and there's a lot of information in there. I'd recommend that if you haven't gone through that class, you consider taking that class, and these three things that we're going to look at are directly taken out of that material. So the first thing that I want to talk about is how we are, as church members, as covenant members of this church, we are to regularly assemble together with a local group of believers, with these believers here at KBC. It should be a regular thing for us to assemble together. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, it says, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The local church should be a group of people who want to be around each other regularly. because we are a family. This is a family here at this church. And because it is necessary for our own ability to love others and for making ourselves available to be loved and cared for, those things can't happen unless we are around other believers, other people who are part of this church. So some examples of times that we meet as a local church. One would be this time, Sunday morning corporate worship times, right? We all can come together. This is probably the highlight of my week is all of us coming together and worshiping God through the truths that we sing and then hearing God's word preached. This is a very, very important time. This is critical. We also meet in life groups, either here during one of the hours of church or in homes. Most of our life groups now are in homes. And so that's a great opportunity to gather together with a smaller group of people, yet they're still part of the body of Christ in this specific church. We have things like men's breakfasts, and we have women's retreats. We have Wednesday night meals and then classes that follow, and we have classes for all the kids. And we have summer barbecues at different people's houses. These are all different ways that we gather together as the body of Christ. And yet, so all these types of gatherings are great opportunities to build each other up with the gospel so that we can together obey Christ and be the light in the darkness. These are not simply social gatherings. That's not the purpose of why we get together. It's not just a social gathering. There should be no spectators, right, in the body of Christ. So we want to all be involved. We want to all be here so that we can use our gifts the way that God has gifted us, and we can equip each other, and we can help each other as we go through just the things of life, the things that happen to us all. Everyone has a role to play. And there's many professing Christians who do not attend a local church, saying that they can be a Christian without going to church. However, it's clear from the many examples that I gave earlier, that long list of things that we are to be doing, if you were just to stay home, and I've talked to people that have just said, well, I just turn on the TV on Sunday mornings and I watch a sermon and that's all I do. Or there was for a while, it was a big thing to stay home and have an internet church. And you know, all these different kinds of ideas that people have come up with, they're not adequate if we want to be obedient to Christ and if we want to do all the things that we are to do as the church. We must be connected. We must be plugged into each other, to this church. We must be committed. You know, our schedule, I think, shows us what really is a priority in our lives. You know, think about your schedule. How do you balance your schedule? Do you fit church in after the rest of your schedule has been filled up? Or is that a priority? Do you put church on your schedule first and then other things as you can? And then those who have children, right? What are you communicating to your children as you either come to church faithfully and serve faithfully, or you choose to not come regularly? If you choose to stay home, what are you then communicating to your children? These are all things that are really important. So the second thing that we're going to look at, as far as what we do as part of the body of Christ in this local church, the second thing is we help other believers mature in Christ. We help other believers mature in Christ. If you would turn to Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16. Starting verse 14, it says, "So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And we don't want to be a people who are easily swayed by the things that this world has to offer, by whatever new shiny teaching comes along, by whatever fad comes along. We have this picture at the beginning of this verse where he says, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, you know, carried about with every wind of doctrine. I just had this picture of like a boat being on water, and it's just the waves are just moving, and they're being, the wind is coming, and it's just pushing the boat. The boat has no control over where it goes. It's just being pushed wherever the storm, wherever the wind would push it. We don't want to be like that when it comes to God. We don't want to be like that when it comes to Scripture. We want to be people who are grounded firmly in God's truth, who are not wavering when it comes to the essentials of Scripture. We want to be people who understand it and apply it well. And one of the ways that we do this is by coming together as a body of Christ and helping each other mature, using our spiritual gifts. Some people here are, we have some tremendous teachers in this church who do an excellent job faithfully teaching every week. We want to be under those people. We want to have, we want to be around people who can comfort us well when things are going, wrong, when things are hurting. We want to be around people who can encourage us when we need to be encouraged. And if we're not here and we're not gathering as the church, then we don't have those things. Those things are so important. We need to be around other believers, other people. We don't want to be pushed around by whatever the devil has for his schemes. We are to speak the truth in love to each other. We are to encourage each other with God's truth. Someone who is not discerning is going to fall for whatever fad comes along in their paths. You know, I like new and shiny things. Cars are cool to look at when they're new. Tools are cool to look at when they're new. Shiny toys, whatever the gadget is. Those are fun things, right? And we can tend, as a consumer, it's easy to get caught up in whatever the new eye product is or whatever the new this and that is. And that's not how we want to be in the church. Rather, we want to be grounded firmly in God's word. This is a long time ago. This is probably back in I think it was in 1998 or something like that. There was a pastor in our old church who was preaching, and I was actually in school in Spokane at the time, and I had come home for the weekend, and this pastor had taught this lesson on postmodernism and its effects on the church and how this idea of there is no truth is just had been seeping into everything, even in the churches. And there was something about that that really caught my attention and caused me to really, listen. And I asked him later, I said, I want more information about that. I didn't know where to look. I didn't know what to do. I knew this was really interesting and this was important. So I went up and asked him, if I could get more information. He knew I was leaving town that day to go back to Spokane to go to school. Within 2 hours, I think he stopped by the house, and he had this manila envelope that was probably a quarter inch thick, full of articles and photocopies and his sermon notes, and gave that to me and equipped me. I've always thought that's how the church should look. We should go out of our way to help each other, to equip each other, to serve each other, and his relationship with me was a very important person in my life for many, many, many years. So the third thing that we're going to look at, the third thing that we believe is important in this church is that we are to meet together, we are to come together as a church to protect each other, to protect other believers from sin's deception. Turn to Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 13. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 13. It says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So there's no doubt this world is full of evils. There's no shortage of evil in the world. And yet it's easy to sometimes think that all the evil's out there, and I just need to avoid what's out there, right? And then I'll be holy if I just avoid what's out there. And yet we see in this verse, where does the evil come from in this verse? It says it takes place in an unbelieving heart. It could be in us, an unbelieving heart, a heart that does not trust God, a heart that is not faithful to God. Could be an evil, a source of evil. It could be something that affects us, right? And it would then affect others around us. So we come together as a church so that we can help each other see those things, and we can disciple each other, and we can instead of having evil hearts that don't believe, we want to be filled with the gospel, right? We want to be filled with truth so that we can believe, so we can be faithful, so that we can put all of our trust in Christ. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." We must guard our hearts and place ourselves in places where we will be cultivating a heart of faith in God. And this is most clearly accomplished when we are around other believers who love Christ. Look at the frequency also that we see here in verse 13. How often are people to meet? It says, "But exhort one another every day." Every day. That's often. It's like all the days, every day. It's not something that we should feel like, well, I've put in my 2 or 3 days of activity with the church, and now I'm just too busy for anything more, right? I mean, that should not be something that we need to get our rest. We need to definitely be careful not to overextend ourselves. But, I mean, in Scripture here, we're told that we should be encouraging each other, exhorting each other every day. That word exhort means to strongly encourage someone to action. We're strongly encouraging each other to live holy lives, to be obedient to Christ. Not just when it's convenient, not when it's just on your schedule, but we should be available for people every day. We should be completely committed to one another for the purpose of loving each other and for service, for our Christian maturity, and for our protection against unbelief. Charles Spurgeon had this to say about church membership. He said, "I know there are some who say, well, I've given myself to the Lord, but I don't intend to give myself to any church. I say, now, why not? And they answer, because I can be just as good a Christian without it. I say, are you quite clear about that? You can be as good a Christian by disobedience to your Lord's commands as being obedient? There's a brick. What is the brick made for? It's made to build a house. It is of no use for the brick to tell you that it's just as good a brick while it's kicking about on the ground by itself as it would be as part of a house. Actually, it's a good-for-nothing brick. So you rolling stone Christians, I don't believe that you're answering the purpose for which Christ saved you. You're living contrary to the life which Christ would have you live, and you are much to blame for the injury that you do." Spurgeon had a way of words, didn't he? He was a very blunt preacher. And so much could be said about the church and about church membership. We could go on and on and on, which is why we have a class. For those who are interested in church membership, because this isn't something we can just cover in a few minutes. This takes time to work through what church membership looks like here at Ken Oak Baptist Church. So if you're interested in getting more information about church membership, there's going to be pastors here at the end of the service. You can come up and talk to us. If you're interested in taking the class, if you haven't taken that before, you can sign up in your connection card. If you've maybe taken it, but it's been a long time ago and you just want a refresher, you know, you are always welcome to sign up again and take it a second time, a third. I think Dustin's taken it like 50 times, but that's because he teaches it, so that makes sense. So we want to get plugged in, right? We want to be part of this church body. We want to be committed here at this church, which is why this is one of our values. This is why this is so important. We don't want to be spectators here at Ken Oak Baptist Church. We want to be completely involved in what we do here. No matter what your gifting is, no matter what you think your capabilities are, there's always a role to play. There's always something that you can be doing to build up Christ in the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would stir up for us in our hearts a desire to be committed to your church, that we would see it as being a good thing, a gift from you. We would see it as the means that you have chosen to build us up, to encourage us, to teach us, to grow us, to disciple us. I just thank you for the fact that there's so much of that going on here at Kennewick Baptist Church. I just pray that you would encourage those who teach and those who serve this morning in a special way. And we would give Christ glory and give you glory in all that we do. Amen.